You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards. Happy New Year, ladies and gentlemen, to you again. This is James Edwards, Keith Alexander in with me tonight for the entire three-hour broadcast. Welcome back to the first show for the Political Cesspool in the year 2014. It came to my attention sometime there during the middle of the first hour when I was checking my email that the first few minutes of the show, during the first segment of the first hour, we were having some technical difficulties for those tuning in online, and so I'll just basically repeat very quickly that which I said at the top of the program. That is, it is a new year, but there is one constant upon which you can depend on, and that is the political cesspool will be here. Now in our 10th year, from 2004 to 2014, our 10-year anniversary will be a little later this year, of course, in October. We have been here without fail, rain, sleet, snow, technical difficulties, it doesn't matter. And technical difficulties are few and far between here at Liberty News Radio Network, but we did suffer a few minutes of one there at the top of the show. But we're back with you, and I think we're going to have our best year ever, Keith. And the trajectory of the show, the trends suggest that we will continue to get bigger and better, because for 9 years, we always have. And we're settling back down into our standard fare tonight, and to normalcy, I guess you could say, after the eight-week period between Halloween and the New Year, during which we have the anniversary show there at the last week of October. We have the top 10 countdown, the last show of the year. We have music we play for Halloween and Christmas, and then there's Thanksgiving. And so you have a special little run of shows there the last 8 weeks of the year. But we're getting back down into the cold, hard brass tacks of it all. Smash Mouth Talk Radio at its finest, the voice of the conservative right. We were reading some emails there at the very top of the show. I'm going to zip through a couple that folks perhaps didn't get to hear in that first segment. One coming in here. James, I enjoy your show. I'm new to the audience, but I'm already convinced that yours is a forum worth supporting. In particular, I enjoy hearing the contemporary history that Keith imparts. Clearly, we've read some of the same books, but it's also apparent that Keith has read more than me. You have outstanding guests, and I've only started to mine the archives. All the best to you and everyone at the network. That comes, Keith, from a brand new listener, and we contrast that with Jeff in Oneida, New York, who writes that he's been listening to the show for 7 years, and that me and you and Eddie and Winston and Scoop Stanton are like flames in the darkness, and that we inspire him to keep the faith, that whether the listeners are old or new, they're coming together and continuing to help us build an audience. And we're very happy about that. And Happy New Year to everyone. Sorry for the technical difficulties at the top of the show, but we're back in the saddle now. And I know that we were only afflicted for a few minutes there, so we're not going to rehash the entire first hour. But that was my opening monologue, so if you missed it the first time, there you go, part two.
You said we're flames in the darkness and we're setting the opposition on fire, James. That's what we like to do here at the Cesspool. Auld Lang Syne, written in 1788 by Robert Burns, otherwise known as Robbie Burns, the Scottish dialect poet of the Romantic era. And he is known, at least to me, for his famous comment that the greatest gift the gods can give us is to see ourselves as others see us. That has particular poignancy and urgency for the white race. We don't know just how intensely we are hated by non-whites the world over. We imagine that everybody is as benevolent as we are, but like they said in George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess musical back in the 20s, it ain't necessarily so. In fact, it's most assuredly not so. We had better wake up and smell the coffee. We need to see what happened to white minorities in places like Haiti, the former Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and South Africa even today, if you want to find out what the future holds for us, unless we wake up, smell the coffee, and pay attention to Robert Burns and start seeing ourselves as others see us and taking a cold, hard look at the reality of race relations in America and the world over, James.
Speaking of Auld Lang Syne, I played that Scottish bagpipe version. Again, we did it at the top of the show. If people missed it on the internet, our internet audience, if you missed it the first time, there was again for you at the top of the second hour. Wanted to certainly work that in the first show of the year. And I posted it to our website as well, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and one of the commenters wrote that we must keep one foot in the past and one foot in the present and our eyes directed towards the future to know where, from whom we came, where we are, and toward that which we are going. Only Christendom and European man has learned to think linearly. All other civilizations think in terms of cycles that only repeat and repeat. And so, Keith, as we think linearly, and we do that here in the Political Cesspool, we hold our past with great reverence and our ancestors, and it is for them we fight, for the faith of our fathers and for the future children that our great kin will have. We're here for them all, and we defend them all, those who have fought for us in the past and those that will inherit this earth when we leave. The Political Cesspool is here to do great work. And again, folks, I think even though we're in our 10th year now, it's going to be a great one, thanks to you.
Well, let me paraphrase and slightly change Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are not created equal. In fact, the great Dr. Samuel Johnson, the raconteur and man of letters of 18th century England, said it very well. He said, "Men are not equal, sir. In fact, men are so unequal that no two men can spend 30 minutes in one another's company without one or the other showing a marked superiority over the other."
Keith, one more thing. I don't remember if it was the first segment or the second during that first hour, but we got a great email, one of the most amazing I've ever received, from Scott Goldsmith of Dixie Republic. Bear with me, folks, if you heard me tell this story in the first hour, but Scott wrote that a couple from Brazil were vacationing in South Carolina and visited his store in Traveler's Rest and bought a great deal of goods from his Confederate outfitter, and they came because they were fans of the Political Cesspool, and they heard his ad on the show and sought him out while they were in South Carolina and did some business with him. So thanks to the fans in Brazil, and thanks to Scott Goldsmith for being a great friend of the show for a long, long time.
Well, let's tell them also that the great deal of goods was over $700 worth of goods in a place like Traveler's Rest in rural South Carolina. Dixie Republic is the name of Scott's company. All of you other potential advertisers out there, you need to pay attention to this. This is the show that is consistently in the top 10 of all internet radio shows during this time slot, and that's the type of results you can get.
We're number 9 right now. That's not even counting those listening on the terrestrial AM and FM station. We're going to take a break, take a call when we come back, and get into the knockout game. The feds have finally filed hate crimes charges.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh?" My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the first show of the new year, the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James and Keith here with you. As we mentioned, we're getting back down to normal after about an eight-week run of special events and particularly festive shows with music and bells and whistles and all that. Back to normal. Hard-hitting news. Keith with me for the entire 3 hours tonight, so there you're getting a treat right off the bat in 2014. And we're going to be getting back to our typical lineup of guests. We've taken a break from having guests on the show in recent weeks with the shows being so busy during the Christmas season. We got a great guest coming up in a few minutes who's going to be talking to us about a petition that exists asking Obama to address the issue of black on white crime. It's a whitehouse.gov official petition. And we're also going to be talking about the first instance of the federal government taking interest in the knockout game. They have filed hate crimes charges against a participant in the knockout game, and it is the first and only time that the federal government has done so, and it should come as no coincidence that this is the first and only time there's been a documented account of a white person playing the knockout game and targeting a minority. Hundreds of examples exist with the races being reversed in that particular scenario. We're going to talk about it all, flesh it all out this hour, but first we're going to go to our good friend Matt in New York.
Good evening, Cesspool family. James and Mr. Alexander. Matt the Copperhead.
Well, good to hear from you again, Matt. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, first of all, let me thank you guys for playing the Scottish bagpipes, Auld Lang Syne, as I am of Scot and Ulster Scot descent. It really makes me proud. And happy New Year and Hop Manet to all.
Hey, you know, Happy New Year to you too, Matt. As you know, and as I've said in the past on this show, my mother's maiden name is McGregor. So, you know, we're all in the same family. It is a family indeed.
Outstanding. Oh, we're all in the same clan. That's a clan with a C. Well, it's been an interesting month here. The start of the month with our new mayor, de Blasio, here in the not-so-fair city of Gotham. Right from the word go, in his inauguration invocation, the Reverend Fred Lucas was very poignant in stating that New York City is a plantation. got to thinking, that's kind of the word straight out of my mouth, except I hasten to say it's not the plantation of the antebellum South or the mystical mythology that people like to paint of the antebellum South.
It's not nearly as productive as those old plantations used to be, Matt. New York is
reverse, sir. Instead of having a white mansion with Spanish moss and someone, a white person sipping iced tea on the column porch, it's us whites that are floating this whole ship here.
We're picking the cotton now, and we've got a bunch of dysfunctional airheads as our taskmasters.
Yes, sir. And
like de Blasio. By the way, how in the world did you wind up with a character as crazy as him as your mayor? I mean, you had to search some to find that dude.
Oh, the Sons of Israel are all at work here and definitely searching hard and long for the 20 years of non-democratic rule here. And the last 12 under Bloomberg, which he was, a fake Republican. If they're probably a good representative of the Republican Party in the 20th.
Well, I tell you what, de Blasio outshines even Rand Paul and Michael Bloomberg as the white race traitor of the decade. I guess I've never seen a guy who is white that was so in the tank for all non-whites as de Blasio. And besides that, he's overweight and ugly.
Well, this certainly issues in a new era of meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
There you go. Hey, listen.
If I can give a quick shout-out, I found a group, Center for the Advancement of the Occidental Culture, very interesting new organization. Just suggest everyone in the family to look them up, Google them.
Hey, send me an email about that, Matt. I'm not.
I will.
I'm not too proud to say that I don't know everything, and I have not yet heard of them. But I'd like to look them up. Keith said he has heard of them, though.
I read some type of article by Occidental Culture, and that really piqued my interest. If I had had more time, I would have looked them up. But now I'm definitely going to look them up.
Well, it's definitely a step in the white direction.
Very good. All right, Matt. Listen, thank you. As always, you got 3 hours of therapy here with us every Saturday night. That's our gift to everyone in our audience who is besieged by unright thinking each and every day, 24/7, by the rest of the media. So welcome. Your therapists are here on duty and on call tonight. Thank you, Matt. And listen, we're going to have a guest come on after the next commercial break, although I know he's already waiting in the wings on the line. I want to set the table for him. By mentioning that, as we wrote on our website, the feds have finally brought hate crimes charges against a knockout game participant, and it happens to be the only documented case during which a white person targeted a black in the so-called game. And despite there being hundreds of examples of instances of blacks targeting whites as their victims in the knockout game, the Obama administration has always chosen to pretend as though the problem didn't exist. A few days ago, Eric Holder's Department of Injustice finally decided to address the issue and chose to act on the only occurrence of the knockout game being played, during which it featured a white attacker and a black target. And it's absolutely astonishing. Let me read to you what the district attorney said in this case, which featured a 79-year-old black victim and a 27-year-old white attacker. The attorney, Kenneth Magidison, said, "Suspected crimes of this nature will simply not be tolerated. Evidence of hate crimes will be vigorously investigated and prosecuted with the assistance of all of our partners to the fullest extent of the law." So there you have the U.S. District Attorney saying, Keith, that these instances will not be tolerated. Now, hundreds and hundreds of examples, well-documented examples, examples on video have existed. Even some of the mainstream media have picked up the knockout game. It became such a phenomenon, thanks to the reporting of us and Colin Flaherty and some other outlets. The hypocrisy here of this U.S. District Attorney couldn't be more blinding. For years, these people have refused to stand up and defend white victims, but act within hours in the first and only documented case of there being a white perp playing the knockout game. And as I said on the website, and I stand behind this, unlike the Obama administration, I hold no double standards on the matter. Anyone cowardly enough to attack a 79-year-old man should be prosecuted and severely punished, period. Now, what separates me from those in positions of law enforcement is that I believe that blacks should also face equal consequences for these crimes. just another clear example that proves that so-called hate crimes charges are exclusively reserved for whites. Blacks cannot be charged with crimes, such as hate crimes, which is why they should be stricken from the books altogether. There exist sufficient laws to adequately punish any given offense. To have hate crimes laws that exist only to be enforced on the very rare occasions when there is a white thug going around doing foolish things is as transparent as the day is long. Keith, we have about a minute.
Okay, well, this guy was probably a wigger, as they call him, some guy that's trying to imitate the black perpetrators of the knockout game who are legion. They were absolutely right, though, when they said this type of crime would not be tolerated. White-on-black crime, that rarest of all type of violent crime, will not be tolerated. However, black-on-white crime, which is the vast majority of interracial crime, will not only be tolerated, it will be encouraged by inaction by groups like the Holder's Department of Injustice. This is why we've got to continue to be vigilant. We've got to fight all of these left-wing schemes like the hate crime bill, which was brought up before the U.S. Senate and voted down on 43 separate occasions over decades. And then on the 44th effort, it was passed into law, and it's done just exactly what all its critics said it would do. It was selective enforcement to the nth degree, and again, it's anti-white. Liberalism is anti-white. Never forget it.
We're going to take a break, and now with the stage being set, we're going to welcome our featured guest for the night, Russell James, after these words, and he's going to tell us about a petition at whitehouse.gov to have Obama address the growing regularity of black-on-white racial violence. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, our featured guest of the night, and therefore first featured guest of the year, is Russell James, a social theorist currently residing in New England who holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in English Literature from the University of California, Los Angeles. His professional interests center on the nexus of power, politics, and identity, and the effects of the politics of identity on Western civilization. Russell James is one of the primary forces behind this petition that appears at whitehouse.gov encouraging Obama to address black-on-white racial violence. Russell, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
It's a great pleasure. Let me ask you this. I don't know, frankly, where we should start. Would you like to address the story we were covering previously with Eric Holder and the Obama administration finally getting tough on the knockout game? Well, could we start there before we segue into the real problem?
Yeah, you know, one of the more interesting things about that was that the guy that did that, the white perpetrator that did that, was caught because he had circulated a video, if memory serves. And in that video, he actually says the reason why he's committing the crime, he says this before he commits the crime, is because he wants to see if the establishment will go into action against him as a white man.
Well, I think I did read that. It was still a little foolhardy on his part because he's going to have to pay a terrible... Well, he got his answer, and I guess we all did, but I don't think it was worth the price he's going to have to pay to find out, and certainly that wasn't an act that we can get behind, regardless of what intentions he may have had. But nevertheless, it does bring right under the microscope a stark contrast, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the reasons why I started the blog and the petition was, of course, because of all the attention that the mainstream media is, or rather the local media and our media, are giving to this issue of the knockout game, even though the mainstream media, the national media, is refusing to talk about it at all, for the most part.
Well, Mr. James, this is Keith Alexander. Again, it's incredible the news blackouts that the mainstream media is able to engineer, and it lets you know how dependent we are on the internet, on a free and unfettered internet, to get anything like an accurate picture of what's going on in America. Now, why is it that black-on-white crime is so underreported, in your opinion?
That's a good question. In my opinion, it's underreported because it is a part of the ongoing white genocide, which they're not going to tell us about.
Well, absolutely. And apparently, the movers and shakers in this nation and in the world are 100% behind that genocide. It's like the criminal rights movement under the Warren Supreme Court back in the late 50s and early 60s that gave us things like Gideon versus Wainwright, Miranda versus Arizona, Escobedo versus Arizona, ad nauseum. Basically, they thought that criminals did a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society and they didn't want them hampered in their useful function. Is that what's going on here again by underreporting black crime, or are they simply trying to send the people of America, the white people of America, this unrealistic portrait that basically race has nothing to do with crime and they have nothing to fear from racial races other than their own?
Yeah, I think it has a little to do with both. You know, obviously, they try to bring into this country as many people as they possibly can to destabilize it, and then they try to agitate those who are here to get them to destabilize. I like to call it weaponization. You know, they like to take the various different identity groups and weaponize them against traditional white America. As far as the issue of the black-on-white crime, you know, the actual attacks on the white people, it seems to me that that the fact that they're covering that up, that they won't talk about that, is, to me, the issue of the frog in the boiling pot. You don't want to throw the frog in if it's already boiling because he's going to notice. So they're turning this thing up. They're keeping everything quiet, and they don't want white people to talk about the fact that we are being attacked by black people. We are under a violent attack by them. The average white person, I live in a small town in Maine, the average person here, and most people here are white, and few of them have ever had any real dealings with black people or anybody who isn't white. And they certainly don't know anybody that's been attacked by black people. So it's hard for them to imagine that this is an epidemic. And the media understand this and aren't going to tell them.
Well, you know, if you look at a map of the United States that shows you racial distribution, it is absolutely amazing how white most of that map is. And as a result, for most of the geographic landmass of the United States, there are large swaths where if people want to see a black person, they've got to turn on the television set. I was born in Minnesota. My father was from the South. He got a job with some Army buddies after World War II who were from Minnesota. And he loved the people up there, but he said, all of those people in Minnesota back in the early 1950s were instinctive experts on race relations that used to lecture him with regularity about how mean white Southerners were to black people. And he would shake his head saying it's like people that live in the desert presuming to tell people that lived in the jungle about jungle warfare.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting way of putting it. I've noticed, you know, it happened to me. I grew up in an all-white area. I was told that we're all exactly the same and that you know, there's no difference between the races. And then I went into the Air Force. I was stationed out in California for a while. I went out into the world, and I met people of other races, and I noticed that there was a difference. You know, and the funny thing was that for the first 20 years of my life, I didn't know anybody but, for the most part, white people, and I'd always been told that everybody was the same. So even when I saw those differences, you know, I buried that. I didn't want to see those differences. I didn't want to notice them. There was something wrong with me. That's what I'd been told, if I did notice them. So it took probably until I was in my late 20s before I finally just realized, no, there are differences, and this is a problem. So, you know, for the powers that be, that really does present a problem, because as they start to multiculturalize areas, as they start to increase diversity, white people are going to be exposed to these people, and you're not going to be able to fool them anymore into thinking that they're the same as we are.
Russ, we're going to read the petition in its entirety in the next segment and give people detailed information as to how they can participate and sign it and answer all the who, what, where, when, and why about this. We're just trying to give folks a little background information before we get to that. And I want to ask you, before I toss it back over to my colleague Keith, I've been noticing the great amount of effort and energy you've been pouring into this project. I know you've sent out press releases to all of the pro-white organizations as well as mainstream media entities. What's been the response? I would imagine almost little to no reaction from the mainstream press, but maybe you can tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right about that. I think maybe if we got more signatures, maybe if we had 10 or 25,000 signatures as opposed to 1,300 signatures, maybe that would change. But yeah, there's been no response from them. The response from the pro-white media has been a lot more encouraging, but it's been slow, which I expected it would have been. You know, one of the things I learned from this was that I probably should have started this process of contacting the pro-white media months before I launched the petition and got all my duckies in a row first.
Absolutely. And also, the experience that you had with people of other races when you moved from Maine to Southern California, I think probably people need to revisit the concept of racial segregation and rethink it. You know, who wants to live among people that are violent and they're predators towards you and your group? No one in their right mind would. And people need to wake up and smell the coffee before it's too late. Am I wrong about this, or what is your impression about that?
Yeah, I think that? One of the things that is probably the hardest thing to get people to understand is that, you know, people will always take the individual example and say, oh, but that guy over there is okay. He's my friend. You know, we need to get people to understand that we're not talking about individuals. There are individuals of all races that are good, individuals of all races that are bad. But what we're talking about is the identity of the group and the problem that that causes. If you don't identify as somebody else, if you see yourself as different, then you're going to see yourself by definition as having different interests. And when those interests collide or conflict, then there's going to be problems.
Well, you know, I had a son who was in Central America during the last presidential election, and he said he never felt so alone in the world as a white person being in Central America, where most of the people are mestizos, with about 90% Indian heritage, 10% at most white heritage. And he said that all of these people down there, almost to the man or woman, profess to be very strong believing Christians. They're either Roman Catholics and very serious about it, or they're fundamentalists and even more serious about it. And he pointed out that Obama was basically on a godless agenda, abortion, gay rights and whatnot. He said it didn't matter. They were simply jubilant because the non-white candidate beat the white candidate. We'll get back to this discussion after these words from our sponsor.
Hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Get on the show. Call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everyone. James Edwards, Keith Alexander in our Memphis studio this evening. We've been talking this hour about the fact that the Obama administration has finally brought charges to a participant of the knockout game. It was the only example they could find during which a white person was the perpetrator rather than the victim. We were talking about that, but then have focused now our attention on the larger problem, which is the growing and very real danger of that comes with black-on-white racial violence. Russell James is our guest, and he's with us for one more segment. He is the mastermind behind a very well-written petition that you can find at the official WhiteHouse.gov site this evening. Sign on. Now listen, folks, I know it's going to take you all of 5 minutes to do this, to go through the process, to go to the link, create an account there, get your email confirmation, and then sign it. It's going to take 5 minutes. But invest 5 minutes of your time to do something positive today. And I'm going to read now the petition. Not everybody who listens to the show goes to our website. So I'm going to read it for everyone. If you've already read it, just bear with me here. But it's just great, and it says it all. It's a commentary in and of itself. Black-on-white violence is the biggest racial problem in America. According to Department of Justice data, more than 2 million whites are beaten, robbed, raped, killed, or otherwise victimized by non-whites every year in America. Although, because the DOJ deliberately fudges the data, it is extremely difficult to determine exactly what percentage of victims of racial violence are white. It is at least 90% and probably closer to 98 or 99%. The double standards of the Obama administration concerning racial violence have worked to increase both the instances and the severity of black-on-white violent crime. The administration has sent strong signals to black criminals by refusing to treat black-on-white crime as the national crisis that it is, and by refusing to charge black criminals who attack whites simply because of the color of their skin with hate crimes. This petition will force the president to acknowledge black-on-white crimes for the first time. It also asks him to make the ending of racial violence a national priority and to address it at his upcoming State of the Union address. Of course, folks, that'll be later on in January. Now, this is something that Russell writes that I think is key, and I want you to pay very close attention here. In the nearly 100 years between the end of the Civil War in 1865 and the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, roughly 3,400 blacks were lynched. About the same number of whites are killed every year by blacks in this country. Starting in the middle part of the last century, the federal government made it a national priority to end the practice of lynching. Within a few short years, they were successful. We believe that if the federal government made the effort, black-on-white violent crime could be eradicated in a few years. Millions of lives that would be otherwise ruined could be saved. The president spoke out when he perceived that a black person, Trayvon Martin, had been victimized by a white person. In point of fact, George Zimmerman is mixed race. His great-grandfather was black, and several of his other ancestors were American Indians. And we believe that it's time the president spoke out on behalf of the millions of white victims of black violence. Even if Obama elects to ignore our plea, your signature is still important because it will help expand the audience of the petition and grow awareness of this issue. Folks, I said that was the petition itself. That was actually Russell's commentary preceding the petition. The petition itself is basically a condensed version of that. Asking Obama to address this issue in the State of the Union address. You can find this petition by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org, among other places. It's featured prominently on our website this week. Sign the petition to end black-on-white racial violence is the name of the article, and there you will find two links that will take you directly to the WhiteHouse.gov page, and there you can sign it. Russell, very well done on the article. I'd like to get you to comment on your work there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that was, you know, I did some research on that, primarily the color of crime put out by the New Century Foundation. I looked at some other reports, the uniform crime reports, and it is very difficult to determine what those numbers are. About a decade ago, when they were doing the research for the color of crime for the second edition of that, I think they reported that 85% of victims of interracial violence were white, or at least interracial violence involving blacks and whites. 85% of the victims were white, but that has increased, and I think that the 90% figure I gave as a low end of that, as the minimum of that, is probably a pretty good minimum. Although again, they included the uniform crime reports and the crime victimization surveys include Hispanics as victims, or rather Hispanics as white when they're perpetrating the crimes. So it raises the percentage of whites committing the crime. It makes it look like there's a higher percentage of whites committing the crimes than there actually is.
Well, this is Keith Alexander again, Mr. James. That's a typical tactic of the leftist media. Another favorite thing they do is lump Jews in with whites when they want to show that white people are not discriminated against in admissions to highly selective colleges and universities like Harvard and Yale. They lump Jews and white Gentiles together, but when you separate them out, you find out that Jews, who are 1.7% of the total population of the United States of America, make up approximately one-third of the student body of these highly selective schools like Harvard, Yale, and Stanford. I was misquoted in an article from the Southern Poverty Law Center saying that I said one-third of all college students were Jewish. No, I never said that. I said one-third of students at highly selective colleges and universities like Harvard, Yale, and Stanford are. And when you then back out the white Gentiles from the 50% or so of total whites, you find out that whites, that are approximately 60% of the population, are the least represented group in those colleges based on their incidence in the general population, 20% versus 60%. In other words, a factor of one-third as opposed to Jews, who are overrepresented by about 60%. If that's invidious discrimination, where do we sign up for ours, is what I would say. And furthermore, just like you were saying, when it comes to victims or perpetrators of crime, then we have the dubious distinction of being lumped together with Hispanics, who are more violent than whites, and particularly white Gentiles. So, again, the dice are loaded. You have to really go into these statistics with a fine-tooth comb and try to separate out the racial groups who are lumped together for the purpose of misrepresenting the facts to the public.
Skewing the statistics is exactly what they're doing, Keith. And Russell, I want to tell you that we're getting a strong response from the audience as a result of your interview with us. Janice writes in and says that she's listening to the show and gets the feeling from the media and the government that is, as a white person, she will not be protected from the violence that comes from the black community. Is that a fair assessment, to believe that as a white woman she will not be protected by the government in this instance, Russell?
I think that is fair. I think that not only are they not going to protect us, but, I mean, it's clear to me that they're agitating for this. They're pushing this by sending these signals, by not charging blacks with hate crimes, for instance, in the instance of these knockout games. They're sending a signal to the black community that these crimes won't be prosecuted. That's not true. These crimes will be prosecuted. The individual committing the crimes will be punished. But they're not going to send a message to the black community that these crimes won't be tolerated. They're deliberately trying to ensure that the black community does not receive that message, that the black community is not in fear of being prosecuted for committing crimes against white people.
Russell, we're running out of time. I want to give you the opportunity, because the main focus tonight, it's been a great interview by any standard of measurement, but the main focus we wanted to have you on tonight for was to make people aware of this petition. Remind people, of course, I mentioned they can get it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, just find the appropriate blog entry, and then there you will find links directly to the petition page. But how else can they find it, Russell, and what is the process for signing it once they are there?
The easiest way to find it, probably, the White House website does not give you a personal URL, so it's difficult to just spit one out. It's very, very long and complicated, the website address. But the easiest way to find it is just to type in petition, black on white crime, and that should show up on the first or second page of your search.
And then once they are there, again, you can go to our website, folks. If you're listening to this show, you'll know that address, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can go to Google and put in the search phrase that Russell just mentioned. Once they're there, what is the process of signing it?
And then if you don't already have an account there, and I'm sure many of your fans don't, many of your listeners don't, you're going to have to sign up. It's a fairly brief process. You go ahead and you sign up, you'll get a confirmation email, you confirm it, then you can go in and sign it, and it's important that everybody know that your name will not appear on it, it will just be your initials.
And that's it. It's cut and dry. And I know people, some people might have the irrational fear that they're going to be put on a list. But folks, you're already on a list. I promise you, you're already on a list. And then this won't either add or detract to that. So don't worry about anything silly like that. Just sign the petition. It's not going to hurt you. I promise you'll still go to work tomorrow. You'll still eat and watch the football game. It'll be all right. I signed it. We're all going to sign it. Keith, a final word from you. And Russell, thanks again for coming on, for writing the great article, for putting forth the petition, and giving us a task, an objective here this first week of the new year.
People, well, this is an opportunity to stand up and be counted. Thank you so much, Russell James, for providing this service. We need more people like you. We need to let people know exactly what is happening in America on in racial matters. And believe me, it's not pretty, but the truth will set you free.
Thanks again, Russell James, everybody. Check out the petition and support his efforts there, and he's doing a great job. We'll be back with the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We'll be right back.